You are listening to Mommying While Muslim podcast, where hosts Uzma and Zeba share their personal stories of mommying in a post 9/11 world. This podcast is designed with the Muslim American mom in mind, so grab a cup of coffee and pull up to their table.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Mommy While Muslim podcast. This is Uzma Jaffrey.
And this is Zeba Hassan. How are you this week, my dear Uzma? I feel like I haven't really chatted with you, which is so rare for us.
I think that's funny because we've been at a couple of meetings so far. We just haven't been able to talk to each other because we're relaying information to other people.
I'm like, it's nice to like be able to do this one-on-one. Like we can get caught up, chit-chat, and move on with our day. But how has your week been going?
My week's highlight has been Belgian waffles.
Oh, yeah.
Pre-made Belgian waffles are available individually packaged at Costco. This is not an ad for Costco, by the way. But my husband goes to Costco because I don't believe in shopping there. You end up spending way more than you need to and end up with way more stuff than you need to for an apocalypse that turns out isn't happening right away. But he was so excited because these Belgian waffles are actually made in Belgium. And he was like, he made this big deal out of it. Like, hello, they're from Belgium. And I was like, why do they have to be from Belgium? Like, we can get Belgian waffles.
Because they're Belgium.
Anywhere. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, he was so excited. Like, he couldn't eat them because he's kind of giving up sugar. But he was so excited he brought a pack home. And they actually were really good.
Oh, no. So those are the on our list for our once a month. We always get those Belgian waffles. And if you don't want to go to Costco to help limit your time there, do Instacart.
Yeah.
Costco is on Instacart. And then I just pick strategically what I need versus doing those impulse buys, especially with Ramadan.
Right.
And if you go when you're hungry, you end up buying
jalapeno
more
poppers.
Things. Exactly. And you're like, do I even want to
I have acid reflux. I can't even eat these.
Exactly. No. Yeah. So Costco is on Instacart. Again, we don't get anything from it, but it does help make your life a little bit easy when you're a crazy busy mom. So I'm glad you guys were able to discover or rediscover
Belgian waffles from Belgium.
Belgian waffles.
I missed his point, but I'm glad that you are somebody who appreciates his excitement.
Oh, I do. Okay. I really, really do.
Tell me about your week.
So, you know, I think all things consumed right now with the start of Ramadan, which is kind of the way it is with all Muslim families. At least we would understand and assume that. You know, my issue specifically, and I've talked about it in the past, and we were talking about it right before we started recording, is I don't go back to sleep after suhoor, and I have an inability to nap during the day. COVID aside, that was the only time that I ever really just fell asleep. But the reality of the situation is I can't sleep. So it's not the hunger. It's not the thirst. For me, it's the chronic sleep deprivation that starts to build up. So if you hear me kind of like go off the rails or forget what I was saying.
Or doze off.
Or doze off in the middle of this recording, it's not because it's not exciting and all of that good stuff. It's just that I physically can't keep my eyes open. Yeah. Does it affect you the same way? I feel like you're a night owl anyway, and you require a lot less sleep than I do. So perhaps it doesn't bother you as much as it bothers me.
No, plus I'm a napper. I completely pledge allegiance to naps.
I mean, I can't do it. Like, I cannot. My brain starts going overload and I can't settle down.
You got to turn your meditations on and listen to your Subra app meditations and go to sleep.
And then I'll go to sleep. Maybe I'm going to try that today our multiple meetings where we will again not be talking to each other on a Friday. But okay, so I am very, very curious as to what our soapbox is for today because I have a feeling I know what it is and I want to hear what your thoughts are.
I'm so irritated because last week's soapbox was about this very same subject and explaining why cops get away with it in reference to the Derek Chauvin trial. Well, as luck would have it, sad luck, of course, Dante Wright was shot on April 11th. He was a 20-year-old black man shot by two-decade veteran officer and police union president Kimberly Potter during a traffic stop and attempted arrest for an outstanding warrant in the state of, you guessed it, Minnesota, right where the trial for Derek Chauvin is happening. She made a mistake, she says, and fired her gun, her steel, really heavy gun, instead of a plastic taser, and fired one fatal shot to his chest. A very wise friend of mine posted this week on Facebook and said, a mistake is when you spill your coffee. It is not when you shoot a black man. Again. Or when you racially profile him to pull him over in the first place and then look him up because, oh, he has an outstanding warrant for something that probably wasn't that big a deal. And he ends up dead. You know, it just, the waste of life and the distrust of police that this builds in our community, it's rending us, it's just tearing us apart. And, you know, it's ridiculous. 2 days later, Officer Potter resigned. The chief of police also resigned. On 4/14, she was charged with second-degree manslaughter, arrested, booked, and then released on $100,000 bail, which she very easily got as police chief or police union president. But this kind of goes back to our soapbox last week where we talked about who actually does get charged in these cases. It's going to be people of color and it's going to be women, police officers. So has justice been served? No, not until she actually gets indicted for second-degree manslaughter. Let's see what happens. But, you know, it's, again, things that make us go, things that make our hearts break. And there are demonstrations across the country, again, because of Duante Wright's murder. March for justice. March to defund police. This is exactly why we say, hey, the rest of the world has police forces that operate without violence and without weapons. Why can't America, the most quote-unquote civilized country in the world, do the same? I don't know. But get out on the streets. We gave you the contact information for Attorney General Keith Ellison in Minnesota last week. We'll put it in our show notes again this week. Here's another one that we've got to write to him and say, we demand second-degree manslaughter charges. Do not drop them. And that's our sad soapbox for today.
It's such a shame that we're having to keep talking about this. Like,
I'm tired.
And I'm glad we're talking about it in the sense that we're bringing it to the surface and we need to do that. But the fact that we have to talk about this on what it seems like a weekly basis is really a shame.
Yeah.
It's really a shame. So thank you for pointing that out. And like Uzma mentioned, all of the notes are going to be, I think all of the links are going to be in our show notes. So if you're interested, please click on the link and show your support. So we are going to, we are hopeful, you know, not to segue into something a little bit more happy, maybe. I don't even know how to say this because sometimes you just need a moment of silence in between your soapbox and what we end up having to talk about. But we can, you guys can push pause if you're listening to this on audio and do that. But we are very excited and super hopeful to see you all at our virtual Iftar for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. It is, like I said, this Sunday, April 18th from 6 to 7. Don't worry for those on the East Coast like myself. You will not be missing Iftar. Muslim moms would never let that happen. Just if anything, I know I have to go home and make Iftar, so I have to get out as soon as possible. If you can't attend, we are super sad about that, but why don't you go ahead and give for St. Jude this Ramadan, because it is time to give and cleanse your wealth for everybody. We're still living in a pandemic, everyone, and there's no guarantee that we're going to make it to next Ramadan. Our audience members and St. Jude supporters who registered and donated early are sitting on some super cool swag boxes awaiting their opening on Sunday altogether, though I know Uzma probably already opened them. I'm just going to guess that. But sadly, we have, not sadly, excitedly, we have sold out of those swag boxes. So I'm super thankful. But guess what? You can still join live. We have tons of giveaways at that event and raffles. And we have so much fun planned. So please, please share a little bit of your Ramadan with us on Sunday. You'll recognize some of our past guests as well. And it's not too late to register. I think you can register on the day of the event. So please do that. If you cannot come and you really, truly can't for whatever reason, please try to share the link with 10 of your friends to kind of just increase awareness of this amazing opportunity that we have been given, and we would really appreciate it. So, you know, we are still continuing this month's series and our new mommy memoirs. So far, subhanAllah, we covered, let's see, two surprises. Episodes, right? Where like they had surprise babies, which scares me because I didn't realize you were so fertile in your early 40s. Lesson learned. And thankfully, I'm not going down that path again. But this week, we're going to bring back a special guest from a blast from the past and a blast from Usma's past, specifically Sadia Jalali, who helped us out in February when she came on and did our Love and Marriage series. She shared some reasons back then that is bringing her back to this hot seat right now because why do some women choose to start all over again and redo the new mommy phase? She is the founder of Muslim Bliss, an online resource with courses, workshops, and counseling. She is a licensed marriage and family therapist focused on building the Muslim relationship skills, premarital education, and marriage enrichment. We all can use a little bit of help with that. We're super excited and, like I said, a little bit scared, because I did not know you were super fertile in your early 40s. And we want to hear right now today why she is choosing to go back to the nursery. Welcome, Sadia, again. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Assalamu alaikum, girl.
Assalamu alaikum, guys. Thank you so much for having me back. I was so excited to come back. It was so much fun the first time.
I know it was, wasn't it?
Excited to be here.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked for absolutely. A long time last time. I feel like we're going to do it again because you have so many pearls to drop. And we just like to talk, you know?
We just like to talk.
So for anybody who didn't listen to your last episode with us, tell us your mom story and your momming philosophy without getting into the meat of today's topic, because we've got plenty of questions on that.
Sure. So I have 5 kids. I have a almost 16-year-old, which is so crazy to me. He'll be 16 in 10 days, inshallah. A 14-year-old. So my oldest is a boy, and then I have 4 daughters. So the almost 16-year-old, Zaid, there's a 14-year-old, Rumaysa. Sephora is 10, Sumaya is 9, and my youngest, Yusra, is 8 months.
Inshallah. Like we say, better you than us.
So I stay pretty busy. If you're asking just about mamahood, I'm a pretty hands off, but I wouldn't say hands off. Like I'm an old school in terms of firmness and like respect and stuff, but I'm a little hands off when it comes to like, I'm not a tiger mom. I don't study with my kids during elementary school. Like I don't know what they're doing. Alhamdulillah, for the most part, they're really good about that. We'll get into that later about pandemic parenting. and a baby. Like, yeah, we'll get into that. But, you know, otherwise, I would say I try to stay a little bit balanced. I try to really, my parents were really big on respect. So I think that just like ingrained in me. So I don't like the attitude. I don't like a lot of that stuff. Try to keep away from tech, all those things. Stuff I think we're all doing.
Very cool. I like it. I like the hands off chillaxing, because I also do not have any clue what my kids are doing typically until they have a problem and come and say, mommy, I don't know how to work this. It's like, oh, okay.
Exactly. Oh, wait,
but,
what?
You know, yeah. I think you can read, so that's good, right?
Exactly. It's like, can you do division? All right. It's fine.
Yeah, you're set for life, man.
You can cut a pizza.
Yeah, totally. You can order pizza or DoorDash. I did my job. So what made you decide to go back to the nursery?
Such a good question. And to be very honest, it was a long time. Like I had to really think long and hard about if this was something I wanted to do again. You know, my youngest was 9 when I had Yusra. And my older 4 children are from my first marriage. And I got divorced probably, it's been about 8 years now.
Has it been that long?
Like 8 years ago. It's been that long. I was just like, oh God, we're in 2021. Wow. Okay. So yeah, 8 years ago. Anyway, got remarried in 2019. And, you know, even getting remarried, to get remarried, I had to make this decision a little bit beforehand, because my current husband has never been married, doesn't have any children, and I knew wanted children, very, very much wanted children. So he's one of six, and I'm one of five. So like, we're not, you know, we don't understand small families.
What do you mean you have one kid?
We don't even, our brain, exactly. And not to knock it, it's fantastic. I'm just saying it's like, for our experience, it's so far from anything we understand, you know? And so, I kind of knew agreeing to marry him meant I had to agree to have more children. Like, I was like, am I ready for that? And, you know, I was 39 when I got remarried. So I was like, okay, so what does this mean exactly, you know? And I'll tell you something really interesting. I don't remember if I mentioned this in the last episode, but I feel like what hit me one day, and I really feel like this has to come from Allah alone, that just it hit me, was that Khadija radiallahu anha, right, had all of her children in her 40s. Because if she married him at 40, right. Okay, and they had a lot of kids together. That means unless they were like 1 year after another, which they may have been, right? That happens. But I'm just saying, even if that's the case, she was like 46 by the time, 47 by the end of that, right? So I was just like, so why do we freak out? Like women, and as you keep pointing out, Zeba, apparently women in their 40s can be fertile, you know? So as scary as that may be for some. But, you know, I was like, you know what? If that's, you know, that's our, from like our prophetic example is that that's totally doable, you know? So what am I freaking out about, you know? Cause I was freaking out about a lot of things, right? I'm thinking the birth defect situation. I'm thinking, you know, just my own physical health, like what's, you know, and just everything. So I feel like that was when I kind of, that light kind of hit me when I was like, you know what? Oh, I can do this, you know? And I have to say, alhamdulillah, for me, my older four children were, you know, healthy, you know, normal deliveries. Like I didn't have a ton of complications. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. You know, I had a few things because there's always a few things. But overall, right? Like it was, so I was just like, I mean, I'm not that scarred. So, and I guess I feel like in 9 years, honestly, you forget.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You really do. Because a lot of that came back when I was pregnant and in delivery. I was like, oh, this is right. All of that. So yeah. That stuff did come back.
I love that reflection because that is not something that – it's something we all know, but, you know, we don't sit there and do the calculations. But, yeah, she would have had to have them all back-to-back to be finished before she was 50, and who knows.
Exactly.
But, yeah, it's not – and I just want to clarify. It's not that women are more fertile in their 40s. It's that we're not as careful. Because we think, oh, we're done. We're like perimenopausal, premenopausal. We don't have to worry. Yeah. And then, woohoo! There you go. Start all over and then end up back in the delivery room. Like, damn it. How did I get back here? But in your case, like you went on purpose and I really appreciate that. And that reflection is important. You're still not going to convince me, but kudos to you for going into your second marriage knowing that, okay, I'm going to do this because, you know, I mean, he deserves the opportunity to try too, right? So it's really taking into consideration this whole new person and meeting his needs as well. So I really appreciate that you did that.
Yeah, I think that was a big part of it, was just kind of being like, you know, this is one of his needs, right? He does want to have children and wanted to experience fatherhood. And so I was, you know, and the other thing was, you know, to be honest, it's a bit of a leap of faith in so many different ways, right? I could just as much not have been fertile because there are people that just aren't at that age, right? Or it just gets harder. You know, conception gets harder. A lot of things get harder. So if you're not timing it perfectly and you're not this and that, you know, and subhanAllah, we weren't that this just, you know, Allah really just wanted her to be here because it wasn't, there was no trackers and there was no, you know, no sticks and no things to be checking and stuff. So alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, you know, Allah really did just want her to come. Yeah. But yeah, it's definitely, you know, something that you go in knowing that, look, at the end of the day, this is in Allah's hands. Like, it's either going to happen or it's not. And I can only just be like, sure, I'll consider it. And, you know, let's see where we land with it.
So you mentioned, Sadia, that your four previous children were from a previous marriage. Your four older children were from a previous marriage. How did they feel about finding out that their mom, now they're going to be sharing their mom with this new baby? Because, you know, they're old enough and probably vocal enough to articulate that to you. So how did that conversation go?
You know, I feel like they, I don't know, it's all really interesting. So they've had a really, you know, interesting experience as well. Their father actually remarried prior, you know, before me. Mm-hmm. And he actually had a child, or has a child, from his new marriage as well. So they had already had a brother, like a half brother. And I feel like they were just like, they love him to death. Mm-hmm. You know, that is their brother. That's it. That's their brother. And so I think seeing that, I kind of was like, I think my kids are just baby friendly kids. Oh, like, I think some kids are just, they like little kids, you
There's
know,
a lot of them in your
and
family.
And some don't, right? You know, right. So I guess they're just, alhamdulillah, like, you know, baby friendly in general. And so when we told them, I mean, they were really excited. Because, like, literally my oldest daughter was like, oh, now we have, you know, we have a baby there. Now we have a baby here.
Like,
you know,
like, they were just like, there's a baby at every house now.
Right. Literally, they were like so excited by it. And I was really surprised that they were as happy, to be honest. I mean, not, I knew they'd be happy, but like, the fact that they didn't express any concerns, like they really didn't, you know? And I'm like, I'm having my own concerns. Mm. I'm like, man, we had just gotten to the age where we could do like cool trips. Cause they're old enough to like, you know, whatever, like parasail and you do this and that and all these fun things or, you know, snorkel and this and that without being freaked out. Cause they're like two or three, you know, tiny babies and stuff. They were all older and we could just do a lot more and we could just like get in the car in like 1 second, you know, and move along. So I think I was surprised they weren't taking that stuff in consideration. Like, oh, now there'll be a car seat and a stroller everywhere we go. And, you know, they didn't seem to, I guess maybe they had just experienced it and were just like, oh, I guess it's not that bad, you know.
Because you can still do that those cool trips and projects and stuff. You just have a baby strapped to you now. Right? And maybe you can't participate, but the kids can certainly participate now in the parasailing while you're watching the boat.
Absolutely.
Or whatever. So.
Absolutely.
So, you talked about how there were some new things that you experienced in this pregnancy, the second or second half pregnancy. What were some of these new obstetric experiences that you had, like during your pregnancy or delivery? What was different?
Well, because we were in the pandemic, my husband couldn't come to any appointments. And I felt really bad for him. I mean, thankfully, I was really grateful, actually. The very first one was pre-pandemic. Okay. So, you know, that's neat because you see the heartbeat. He's never seen any of these things before. He doesn't know what anything's, you know, never seen the little gray screen with the little, like,
yeah,
you know,
the blinking light.
The little blinky blink. Yeah. So, you know, some of that stuff was really, I was so grateful he was able to come. But then from about maybe 4 or 5 months on, yeah, I mean, he was just not allowed at anything. Mm. And it was just like, okay, and it's fine. You know, some of those appointments are like blah
right.
anyway.
like first ultrasound?
Some of them. So, yeah, well, so he made it. Okay. It was the week before.
Lockdown.
Literally the week before the pandemic. Yeah, so alhamdulillah. So we had some of those moments. I think the other thing was just, you know, you wouldn't do your usual stuff. You go, you know, they do the whole pee in a cup thing and this and that. You don't do any of that. There's all this, you know, you get in and you're there for 2 seconds and you're out. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just very, can't have any questions. And like, you just better just like move it along. It was very, very, very strange. And then for me, I guess because I was older and I guess considered high risk at this point, they were doing these weekly scans as I got further along. And I think it's because she was measuring small. And so that was a lot. I was at the doctor all the time. and again, alone. So you're just like, okay, whatever. so that was a lot. It was just, you know, and then of course delivery. Yeah, delivery in a pandemic. Delivering with a mask on.
All not, that breathing and inhaling your own stinky breath. Ugh. I'd pass out, man.
So bad. So bad. Oh, eventually it was off. And thankfully no one like put it back on. And that, like literally at the very, very end, it fell. Like, I don't remember taking it off. I just don't remember
so
it also being on because later.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm picturing.
like later I was like, oh, it's there somewhere. I was like, oh, look, it's on the ground, you know, noticed it next to the bed on the ground.
Wow.
yeah, that was some interesting stuff.
So was he there for the delivery? They let him in?
He was. He was the only person allowed. He had to get, you know, I had to get COVID tested before we went in. He had to do temperature checks. He couldn't leave, basically.
Yeah, once you were in.
Once he was in, couldn't leave. So if somebody wanted to bring us food or something, he'd have to be like right at the lobby door, because they could come in, but it was like a hassle to come in. You know, your temperature check, you're this, you're signing in this and that. And it was just hilarious how we're like transferring food to get in and all this different stuff. But yeah, he was allowed in. It was an interesting time. Like it was such a different experience because he doesn't know any better, right? I knew how different the experience was, that my family would have shown up 2 seconds. Well, they'd been in the waiting room. They would have all been there with their chai and their snacks.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Like waiting to hear, right? And then rushing in with a ton of stuff. And yeah, it was just so, we were so alone. It was so strange, you know, really, really strange.
So you talk about being alone in the delivery room, but you know, that fourth trimester when the baby is home, you're also alone, right? When this is the time where you're kind of needing that, the closeness of other people to kind of help you through, because it is a difficult time, regardless of if you're doing it again, if you're doing it for the first time, even if you know better. I always say it's like pulling a Band-Aid off. You just kind of have to get through those 90 days before your life is back to normal again. So once you're in a pandemic, that fourth trimester, did that loneliness continue into that time as well for you?
Oh yeah. It was really rough. You know, usually after I have a kid, my mom comes and like stays, or, you know, we're somebody's over every day bringing things and doing things and helping out. And like, no one saw her. I mean, my parents came the day of with masks on. We were freaking out. We had just come from a hospital. Okay. So mutually we were all freaking out, you know. My husband's parents came, they came for like 5 minutes, you know, they held her for 5 minutes with masks on. Everybody's just like panicked. My kids held her with masks on for barely. And then we kind of quarantined ourselves, because again, we were at the hospital for 2 days, right? And it was just a lot. Actually, by the way, I was only at the hospital for 24 hours.
Yes. Well, yeah.
Which is crazy.
At that point, they're like, the kid's not yellow, aren't I?
Literally. I was like, yeah, sure, I'm fine. I'm dying, but okay. And that's the other thing, right? I was older. So like, you know, your body's not recovering all that. I mean, it's recovering, alhamdulillah, but it was taking its sweet time, you know? And you know what our moms do at that time? Like, they make the food, they check on your laundry, they do all these little side things. They don't necessarily take care of the baby, you're pretty much taking care of the baby, but they do all the other stuff to take care of you, you know? So I didn't have any of that. And nor did, I mean, to this day, she's 8 months old. Half of my friends have not met her.
Oh.
And Usma knows I'm a very social person. That's really weird, you know? And so I feel like the isolation, just even from my own family, let alone friends. I had a couple of friends drive by from the door, you know, like a quick viewing, you know, I had her, you know, showed her up from the door.
Did like a Michael Jackson show off of the baby.
Exactly.
They were literally 6 feet from my door, and they're like waving with the mask on. They're like, oh, she's so cute. And I'm like, can you even see her?
She just looks like a wrinkled veggie thing right now.
Exactly. So that long, I feel like this, I don't know if I would say I had PPD, like an actual, like clinically diagnosable, but I definitely had baby blues.
Yeah, for sure.
Like 100%, like, but deeper than before, you know. I think everybody has them to some degree. This was really different. Just the isolation was incredible. And my husband was really careful because of the pandemic, more than I am. Like, I'm pretty strict, but he's really strict. So, you know, we went to the doctor the first week we had the baby, and the doctor's like, nobody for 2 months, nobody until these two month shots come in, not anyone, like even grandparents. I mean, she was like really intense. Wow. And so he was like, yeah, like nobody. So we were really isolated for like a really long time. Yeah, so it was tough. It was really tough.
That's actually, you know, and I know it's hard and you're talking about the baby blues, but the doctor saying that 2 month thing, oh my gosh. I think that's so important. That is a rule that was pre-pandemic.
But
who follows that? Because in our community, everybody's coming over to see the baby. Everybody's bringing gifts. Oh, we want to come see you. Big fat liars. They're just coming to see the baby, you know, and the baby gets
gifts.
Well,
they're kissing them on the face.
Yeah, and they kiss them on the face. And then I once had somebody visit my newborn who was days old after they had already tested positive for, back then it was the avian flu. And they tell me later.
No.
And I'm like, you had the freaking avian flu, and you can't, and they're sniffling. And I can see that. I'm like, are you sick? No, we're not sick. And then like that weekend, they called and they're like, oh yeah, like our daughters have the avian flu. And I wanted to punch him. Like, are you kidding?
That's next level inconsiderate.
During a pandemic, like you can imagine, you know, it's just that much more important, and it just makes it easier, right? Like, oh, we don't want our baby to die, you know, because everybody else has. So that's one advantage. But I totally hear you saying with the loss of the social connection, and you, because you know the difference, you've experienced the other end. What happened to the moms who were first-time moms this year? I'm sure it was exponentially harder for them.
I was wondering that.
It was either harder or easier. I don't know.
It's either harder because, you know, that first time you don't know what the heck you're doing, right? The one advantage I had was I didn't have as many questions. I kind of like could wing this stuff. Like, you know, I didn't remember a ton. It is. You forget everything. But it slowly starts to come back. It's like slow muscle memory. It's like, you know, so I wasn't as panicky about every single thing. And I wasn't as worried about, but like, I'm like, man, if you're a new mom and you're in this situation where like nobody can help you, nobody can like, you know, just advise you because you're kind of freaking out about everything. Don't want anybody to come by and check this rash out, you know, whatever. I'm like, man, that must be so hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was really worried about them. I was like, how are new moms doing this year?
I really feel for them.
I felt bad for my husband because this is his first experience, his only experience, right? And I was just like, oh, I wish remember the days of when, you know, your hospital rooms, like, you know, people bring things and they're more careful then. They didn't go touch it. Like, my friends are thankfully, like, pretty normal. Good about this stuff. They didn't all just get all touchy and hang out for too long. But, you know, they did visit and it just was more joyous, right? It was just this big celebration. And we didn't have that, you know? Really didn't.
And no Akika parties, right? Like, that's hard.
Nope. Yeah. No Akika. We literally, I remember the Akika meet. He went and did the thing and like the guy packed trays in these bags and literally at my challah, my aunt's door, I was like, here, I handed it to her at her door and then walked away and was like, well, that was the, that was the Akika. She came to my car. She came to my car with the window up and looked at the baby from the car. And I was like, there we are. That was it.
So for those of our audience members who don't know what the Akika is within a week of a baby's birth, we are sacrificing an animal, one for a daughter, two for sons, and then you distribute the meat to your family, friends, and neighbors. So it's typically marked by also a social event. So you'll kind of have like a baby's coming out party where, hey, here's a new member of the community, accept her, accept him, like she's one of the fold of our family now. And, you know, it's just, like you said, a really joyous, exuberant time, and you didn't get to have any of that. And it's breaking my heart a little bit for you, girl, because I know you did it for your other babies.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it was just all very different. You know, I was thinking about something you'd asked me earlier, Zeba, about the older kids' reactions. And I actually, you know, my youngest, I did kind of notice would be a little extra clingier, you know, actually my younger two, really, they were just a little extra cuddlier, wanting a little extra cuddles, you know, they didn't do anything, I would say, like, super just like in your face about it, like, oh no, like, you know, tantrum-y or pay attention to me, especially if I'm holding the baby. It wasn't any of that. It was just a lot more like, if I was free, they were like on me,
right?
In some way, you know, they were just right there. They were tough during the pandemic and during pregnancy because they were online. They were doing online school. And I told y'all last night, like, I've learned my kids are not online schoolers. This does not work for them at all. And so trying to like have a newborn and be on top of their schoolwork was just like hilarious, actually. It was just not, you know, they're like, the Zoom is, their Zoom class is happening. I'm walking by like a hot mess. There's a baby screaming. Literally, there's a baby screaming. They're like muting and unmuting. They're like, Mama, I have to talk right now. And they're, you know, and I'm like, I'm making a bottle. I don't know what to tell you.
Put your hijab like, on and button your shirt, Mama.
literally, it was like, you know, you're wearing short sleeve and like everything's just,
Can't do anything.
I was like,
else.
Turn your camera off. Yeah. You know? It was just really bad.
I think a lot of families learned that.
I will say, well, 2020, just in general, with the baby, like pregnancy, baby, postpartum, all of it was just like a lot with other children, you know, that definitely, it was just kind of like, let's just lay it all on at one time and try to see who floats.
Who breaks
and,
first.
Know, sink or swim situation. Like, really, it was just like, so, who's going to make it today? And who's going to, you know, it was pretty funny.
That's so funny.
I look back now and I'm just like, I feel like all of us in like 5 years are going to look back at this time and be like, what even was any of that?
But,
like,
or,
was that
or,
even real?
Was it even real? But we can choose to look at it as a reset.
True.
You know, very it's true. About changing the narrative. Like, you are now learning things about your kids. They're not online learners. Like, you know, you did look at all the amazing things you were able to do without knowing you were going to be able to do it. You know, there are ways that we can change the narrative and focus on what positive things happen, even if those positive things are like this small. You know, and that's the truth. And for a lot of us, it is, right? We're just trying to survive. But, you know, I fundamentally believe we're going to look back at this time and be like, you know what? It sucked overall, but there were pockets of things that I was able to do or experience that I wouldn't have experienced otherwise. And perhaps that's something that we can carry on into the future. So I'm sorry that you had to go through that. But my hopes is you'll look back in 5 years and say, I'm so glad and thankful I went through that, especially because you're done. Your oldest will be in college, and then your youngest will be in kindergarten. I mean, we're gonna have we're gonna have a party at that point.
I think preschool,
right?
I don't even know.
That's such a good point. You know, like in terms of, I do think about the blessings of all of this, and there were many. You know, there were some real, like, this baby, mashallah, is so close to her dad. Mm-hmm. So close to her dad, more than any of my other children have ever been close to their father. And it's because, like, he was just around a lot, and he had to be, you know? Like, he couldn't go anywhere even if he wanted to, you know? And so, like, now that he's starting to go back to work a few days a week, even this is, like, such a change for her. She looks for him. Mm-hmm. She's just like, well, where's he, yeah. You know?
Where's
like,
that guy?
Where's that non-milk machine?
Where's that guy?
Where's the non-mom? Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, where's the very big-bearded, very long-haired dad?
he went 2020 Yeti style. Dad? Okay.
Oh yeah, and we're still there. I'm not sure, but like she, like I feel like that was such a blessing. I keep thinking about, like, I don't know if any dad has had that, like, that amount of time with their child, like in a good way. Like it was just, I don't know, alhamdulillah, it was a real blessing. I feel like their bond is so different and so just, it's, I feel like she has him as much as she has me,
oh,
which is crazy.
I love
that's
that
so different than typical, you know, newborn phase. So that was really neat, alhamdulillah.
And I think more than the Lamaze classes and the focus that we've had in the past on, you know, the birth partner, I feel like the afterbirth partner is way more important, because, you know, typically his or her now paternity, maternity leaves to support the birth mom is completely inadequate, right? Like, you need more than 6 weeks. Everybody needs at least Absolutely. 12 weeks of maternity leave, and their partner needs to be with them at their side, at their beck and call, to do what needs to get done. You know, typically we've relied on our moms to do it, but that may not be the way to go, especially if this pandemic, exactly. like they're saying now that we might need boosters. So this is like an ongoing thing. You know, it's not just going away this year. So I really think we need to start emphasizing those partners. And we've learned in the last year that it's completely possible to work remotely and not separate these families like we have been doing for generations now. So a friend of mine had said at the beginning of the pandemic last year, she said, you know, this is going to be the generation of parents that actually really knows their kids. And I feel like that's a huge blessing, right? Like, we've gotten some super insight.
Huge.
And I've been thinking about Zeba every time my tweens, like, talk my ears off. And I'm just like, oh, my God, shut up. Stop talking. But she keeps warning me, no, enjoy it. Because there will be, like, this four-year period where they will completely ice you out. So do not arrest their conversation. So I have to, like, at suhoor time when I just want silence, I'm just like, oh my God, okay, fine. Just close my eyes and drink my coffee and let them, like, talk my ears off and think of Zeba and you, you know, and your expertise.
You're absolutely
in the
right.
teens
That's
and tweens.
Such a good point. And I do that all day, every day. I'm like, no, I totally want to know about Attack on Titan. I totally want to know about Naruto. Yeah. I totally want to know
Naruto,
about
oh my God.
And every... so many things. And I'm just like, do you know how much is on my mind right now? Do you have any clue of the other things I need to be doing?
No, they don't.
Yes. Tell me more.
But you know what? The fact that you can stop yourself is good, because there shouldn't be anything more important in that moment than being actually present for your children.
So,
because there will be a time where they do not want to do that. So, because, you know, and that is the beauty of having the older kids and the younger kids. So when they're talking, you're like, I'm going to put everything down and we're going to listen and we're going to talk. Cause I know one day you are not going to talk to me and I'm going to be so sad.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. I'm so handing them the screaming baby. Here you go. Go do that.
Take this baby. No,
go do something with this baby.
Well, you know, I think that's one reason I was considering doing this is I was like, I also have helpers, right? I have some extra hands. If I run to the bathroom, it's okay. Somebody's there. Like, you know, you remember those days where you literally couldn't go to the bathroom, or your bouncer gets dragged into the bathroom.
By the shower, you know, the shower door's showered open.
Shower with everything open, you know, because we're just freaking out waiting to hear something. And so I remember all those days, and now it's like, I don't really have to do any of that. There's always somebody to hand just anything happens, let me know, you know. And so that was a big factor too, is just knowing that I've got extra hands on the
love. That's such a blessing. And so, you know, there are some moms, like you said, that are the single mamas that have to kind of go through this, and you were a single mom for, it sounds like, eight years. What kind of advice would you give to those moms that are having to kind of do it all? Like you said, like, I wasn't a single mom, but I have to say I didn't live by my family. And you guys are talking about all the help that I got. No help. I had to do everything by myself. My husband, this is not a joke, with my third, left me in the delivery room right after Zade was born, because he had to go to work. And I'm like, what are you talking? I just didn't have the family support system. So, and it does that, because I kind of had to like learn as I went along. And I do feel like that made me stronger as a result of that. But there are moms that don't have any support. And, you know, as a marriage and family therapist, what do you recommend for these moms, new mommy or not?
That's a great question. I feel like you have to build a support network. You know, if you don't have it through family, then you have to have some set of friends, even if it's just a couple, you know, where if you really needed something, they would be able to show up for you. If you have to go to the doctor and you can't bring this kid with you, because, you know, that's all the pandemic rules, can't bring anything and anyone with you anywhere. So you got to have somebody there to back you up. You know, you've got to have your way. Obviously, if you know, that's hard to do, but hopefully you've got at least a couple, you know, really doesn't have to be like a huge social circle. A couple of trusted friends would be really important. Another thing is, you know, stay in touch via like all the technology we have. You know, one thing that did keep me sane is I would FaceTime, you know, whatever, my mom, like WhatsApp video her like every day, and just everyone every day while, you know, that first few weeks, because, you know, you're going nuts, you know, you're just like the lack of sleep, and, you know, sleeping every, you know, hour and a half when you're 40,
when you're 25,
is very different. It's very different.
It hurts worse.
It hurts. Oh, it's like a physical pain. It's worse. Terrible.
Oh no, your body hurts in so many places when you have to get up like that every hour. It was just like, oh God, we did this for, like, how did we do this four other times? Like, what, you know? So I think just like this, to keep sane, I had to like just talk to people. I had to be social in whatever way was possible, you know? So even those one or two, three friends that did the drive-by, do you know how happy my day went that day? Because I was like, I have friends.
Yeah.
You know? I was like, yay, people like her and they just want to see her. You know, I mean, it just meant so much, that just hearing little things and just people checking on me, I think was my, you were just like, how are you? How's baby? Mm-hmm. You know, just like the random text, you know, if y'all know any single moms out there that don't have a lot of the help that Zay was talking about, you know, that is so isolating. And if your husband is just a busy person, or that's just what their job, the nature of their job is, you're just on your own all the time. So, you know, reach out to those people, check in on them, just send them a quick text. Like, what's up? You know, the other thing that was amazing was people were sending me dinner.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. Yes. And it was fantastic.
With DoorDash, you can do that. That's the beauty.
That's
now.
What I mean. It just would show to my door.
Like, yes.
Yeah. Like, Yeah, literally for like, I think the first 2 or 3 weeks, I didn't cook because either, you know, my mother-in-law did, my mom did, but then, you know, how much they're older now. That's the other thing. Your grandparents are much older than this set of children.
They don't have the energy.
Can't expect them to do exactly what they did for all your other kids. So that's another change, forgot to mention. So my friend stepped in, and, you know, we were just getting, you know, whole Chinese this day, that day. I mean, we were like, wow, this is really good. Because to try to cook right now is so beyond my comprehension. Right. Mm-hmm. I was like, we're just trying to survive. We're all trying to make it today, you know. So that was really helpful, too. So, I mean, I think building friends, staying in touch tech-wise, however you can with whoever you are close to, you know, realizing that this time will pass, like the real intensity of it. I remember having to tell myself that multiple times to be like, I remember this. This is the beginning. Mm-hmm. This is how the beginning always goes. You know, even when I had friends and I was 25 and young and energetic, it was still hard. Yeah. You know, nobody wants to wake up every hour. That's not a pleasant, normal human experience. So it wasn't like, it was easy then. It's just different now. And, you know, obviously a little bit harder, but it was just kind of like, okay, it's okay. We know that that day comes when they do sleep. We know that day comes when, you know, you can get out a little bit more. So I would just encourage people to, you know, have that social network, remind yourself that this is temporary, and then remind yourself that, like, I'm doing this now, which is so funny. Y'all can probably relate to this. You know how many Ramadans you had when you had a young one and you were just like, I'm such a loser. I'm like not doing anything and I can't go anywhere. And I'm just like doing nothing. And I was like, wow, I never thought I would have that feeling again. Being like, oh no. And so then I had to do the whole thing we do and just be like, this is all my ibadah. This is all my ibadah. Like, let me reset my intentions. I'm taking care of my family. Like, this is my worship to Allah. This is my, so reminding the same moms, same thing, you know, this taking care of your family, like there's so much barakah and so much reward in what you're doing. And so just the fact that your mom and dad, like Allah's only going to reward that more. Like that's a big thing for you.
Yeah.
And that's such a great reminder, considering there are so many moms going into Ramadan and constantly feeling guilty. I always say, I feed you, I clothe you, I'm taking care of you, separate and apart from whether or not I'm fasting. That is my, you know, connection to God is through my taking care of you, you know? So I want moms. I love that you brought that up. Moms definitely need to know that a little bit more, but you know, we have this new segment now that it's kind of like quick fire, rapid fire. We haven't figured out what we're going to be calling it yet. Right. We're still figuring out.
Quick fire.
But then it's like you say quick fire in a Muslim podcast. And then I feel like, are we going to get flagged?
If we say fire?
I don't know.
No, I think the CIA scared. Only cares if we say bomb.
Okay. See, okay. So they are listening. But I am going to give you some questions and you cannot think about them. I want you to like say it right away. Okay.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Okay.
Texting or talking?
But okay. Texting.
Favorite day of the week? So you can't think.
Friday.
She thought about that one.
Friday.
You did have to think about it. And Friday, not because you're sitting here with us two Fridays, and you know, two Fridays.
Of course.
Favorite city in the U.S. besides the one that you're currently living in?
I was like, Houston.
Of course.
Miami.
Oh, I love Miami too. Nickname your parents used to call you.
Money.
And
still call you.
And what are you making for iftar or having made for you for iftar tonight?
Probably going to in-laws. And so there will be chicken spring rolls. There will be daibare. There will be chole. And
I think that's oh my God. My stomach literally just went.
I know.
So that sounds super good. Super yummy. And thank you again so much for coming onto the show today, Sadia. And, you know, I think the blessing that we can always pray for new parents is I hope you get some sleep, girl. Because I know you knew that.
I mean, yes, that's really the key to life is when your kid starts to sleep, like the world is a better place.
Yeah. Hey, but I think we forgot that's to ask one question, Zeba.
Which is?
Sadia.
You know my brain.
You going to do it again?
Oh, girl. Oh, yes. Are you going to do it
again? She is. She is.
Okay. The best answer to that is
Allah knows best.
It's
don't
in
don't say that.
That's in consideration, just because I'm just like, now she's this island and now she's going to be all alone. Yes. And I don't, and you know, again, my husband's one of six. You think he wants one? Nope. Probably not.
Once you open that doggy door, girl.
Mm-mm. I know. It's you know, it really is a Lino's mess. Yeah. That actually is the absolute truth. It's like, you know, if it's an, you know, if he's planned it, it's fine. We had decided 42 hard stops. So
okay.
We'll see. We'll see when that comes.
I think it should go 46 if we're going prophetic model.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, let's do that. And I was like, she's going to be on the show next year.
Well, why don't you guys join me now? Because you're both not 46.
We're going to hit 46 way before you do, girl.
No,
I was like, well, then that means y'all have time.
No. Like, I kept joking. I'm like, I'm ready for the whole nannyhood. When that time comes, I'll be ready for that because I'm done with my own babies. I want to be able to pass them That's along so to other people. That's what I want to do.
No, I'm going to the spa by myself. That's the plan.
Exactly.
That's the plan.
Right?
I would say
I'm
once you start having
the alone
face,
time in the between.
I would say once you start having to face like the issues that a lot of women who are, you know, some of them are starting their families later just because it's getting harder and harder to find the right match, right? When you're starting to spend tens of thousands of dollars to try to get pregnant, that may be because you already have, you know, your basketball team, mashallah, you don't, maybe that could be your hard step.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it is. Is where it's like, look, if it's you know, facilitates it and it happens and it's possible, I'm considering it. You know, I mean, I'm very blessed that I don't have horrific pregnancies. They're hard. A pregnancy is always hard. And I had like this separation thing with my last two of the first set, and that was horrific. Every step I took hurt. Every single step I took.
Oh.
So that was insane. So like some pregnancies have been harder than others, but overall, me and my sisters, we don't do all the whole like vomiting and the whole so alhamdulillah. I'm like, look, I mean, if he's making it easier for me, then I should consider.
Yeah absolutely. Well, then we'll have you back on so you can talk about I did it again. Whoops, I did it again.
Oh goodness. Oops, I did it again.
Only this time you're doing it on purpose. That's not really
oops,
whoops,
I did
right?
it again. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Neither have been a very big whoop.
Yeah. No, well, I'm really proud of you and I cannot wait to lay eyes on your baby because she's the only one that I've only seen through photographs. So I am super excited for our reunion
inshallah.
And we'll keep you in our du'as and inshallah have you back
on. Thank you so much, guys. Inshallah. Thank you so much, guys. This was awesome.
Thanks, babe. Assalamu alaikum, everybody. Thanks again for joining Zeba and Uzma on Momming While Muslim today.
Please email us your thoughts or questions and follow us on Facebook and Instagram because this podcast was designed to cater your needs.
Make sure you check out the show notes to find the links and resources for this episode. And remember to help a mama out and leave a review of the show, as well as to like it on your podcast app of choice, because that helps us grow.
Tune in next week for another episode of Mommy While Muslim. Assalamu alaikum, everyone.